Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, November 21st, and we are here on time like we are every day. Thank you for joining us.
Always.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
We're getting ready for Thanksgiving. I think I am.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the way that it just feels like a holiday to me. I don't know why, but we were talking about this today. And maybe I'm just trying to feel like it's a holiday.
I'm preparing for Thanksgiving by working out.
Ah,
so
there
I
you
can
go.
Just eat everything.
There you go.
I worked out yesterday. I'm so sore. And it's my first time since like traveling and everything that I've been able to get back. And I really am a different person when I don't go to the gym. Like, I need to work out.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's a good thing, you know? So, good. We do have a couple of guests in the studio. We'll be joined by them in a few minutes. I just wanted to bring up a couple of things. You know, I was... you're talking about eating and everything. I went out and bought, like, this grill, right? It's indoor grill.
Yeah.
It's like a press thing. You know, it opens. It's got two plates, metal plates. You can make anything
like
on it.
George Foreman?
Yeah, but like, this one's on steroids. It's, like, got a computer in it. It tells you exactly when the steak is ready, when fish is ready, when anything is ready.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. It's got all kinds of gadgets on them and stuff. So I thought maybe this will be a good time to start cooking or something, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So I made a good steak last night. I made some paninis. And,
ooh, what kind of steak?
It was a... what they call them?
Ribeye. Yeah.
Yeah,
delicious.
That's my favorite. Yeah. They had some good deals on New York steaks, but you know what? New York is not that great.
My new
know.
Favorite steak, bone-in filet.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to have the bone filet. In there.
I used to do it without the bone, and my life has changed.
Really?
Yeah, when we were in Vegas, Olivia treated us all to a really nice dinner, Olivia and Michael.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first time having this... It changed my life.
That's awesome.
Changed my life. I had a really good show last night.
Yeah.
I got my friend was hosting a show at the bar at a Molly Malone's, and she was sick, and so she was like, "Hey, do you want to host?" And so I said, "Sure." Showed up, and he was like, "I'll host. Do you want a spot?" I was like, "Absolutely." So I just had a really good spot last night. After
good, so it was like spur of the moment thing, last minute.
Well, I mean. I had a show on Saturday, but I took like a week off because I was sick last week. So it's like weird. It's weird to me after taking a week off of doing comedy, and then it's like uncomfortable for me to get back.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
But
yeah.
Once you get back, it's like a bike. You know what I'm saying?
That's so. True. Well, good. Good. So did you kill?
I don't ever like saying I killed, but I did
but
well.
But they left.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got good feedback. So
good. So, so for those of you interested in this grill, it's like really cool. It's called OptiGrill.
Are they sponsoring you now?
No, they're not at all. And the thing is, I was probably meant to get it because like I got a catalog from Bed and Bath or something, and I always throw it away.
Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah, Bed Bath and Beyond. It used to be Bed and Bath once. But I saw this in the catalog. I'm like, wow, this looks cool. I never look at those catalogs, you know. So it was meant to be. I went there. It was the last one. So I was probably meant to do this. So I'll tell you about all my adventures of cooking and stuff like that.
Cool.
You know, yeah.
If you sell one off the show today, they should give you a
I know, right? I'm such a like promoter for things, right?
Yeah.
Because when I find something cool, I like it. I like to tell people about it. I know. We'll call them about it and see. You know, the shitty part is having to clean up afterwards. You know, but it all goes in the dishwasher. It's fine.
I was reading in the news about the FCC and the net neutrality.
Uh huh.
I like think that's so fucked up. They need to keep it like. How it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of complicated though, right?
Not really. I learned about it in college. I remember like studying it years ago, like when it was first become, like when they were first talking about net neutrality and the FCC and the regulations and everything. And it's just like the internet is free and open marketplace. Like companies shouldn't charge more based off like it should just be how it is,
right?
Because then smaller companies and smaller what brands or whatever aren't going to have the same advantage as these big conglomerates that have, you know, the ability to control because they have all the money.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That's not fair.
I know. Well, we'll see what they do about this. I mean,
they control the speed of your internet.
They've been going around for a long time. Yeah.
Get your information. I know, that sucks, man.
Yeah. Well, I also wanted to mention, you probably heard of David Cassidy being in critical condition. I don't think anybody doesn't know who he is. You know, I grew up on this guy, right? He was like a few years older than me, and he was my idol. I mean, it's like up to that point, my hair was always parted on the side. You know, I was like, 13 years old or something? And his was in the middle. He had this like really cool hair. And I always had to try and get this. Never worked quite well, but he was the idol for a lot of people. A lot of women had a crush on him, you know? He was the thing in the 70s. So he's in critical condition. He doesn't look very good, even before he went to the hospital. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen pictures of him. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Is he a singer?
David Cassidy.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. You answered the question.
Is he? What does he do?
Do you know the Partridge Family? Have you heard of the Partridge Family?
Like the redhead guy that is like super obnoxious.
No, that's Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah, I know him.
Okay, right.
I watched the Partridge Family and the Brady Bunch growing up.
Yeah, so
which
you know
one was
who
David
is.
Cassidy?
The handsome one, the older one.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I was
well,
more
never mind.
Of a Brady Bunch person.
All right.
Like the Partridge Family, I think came on after the Brady Bunch, and that was like the family that I just was like.
Yeah, but it was cool. They had a band and everything. The family did, oh, yeah, you know, and right. all that. So
yeah, he was in the family band.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, in the show he was. Yeah, it was all the mother, the kids, everybody. Was
I know
singing.
The Partridge Family.
Yeah.
But no, that's sad. But yeah. He lived a good life. He fucking
well, maybe star, he did a lot of drugs, man. He hasn't looked good in
he was
his
a
old
rock
age.
Star.
Yeah, yeah, but. What are you going to do? So he's got, they're saying also he's suffered from dementia and stuff, which is terrible. Also, I just wanted to bring up, this is weird because the Justice League, apparently they're saying didn't do very well at all because it didn't make $110 million. It made about 96.
Is that a DC comic movie or something?
Yeah, the new superheroes. I know I'm not into them at all either. It's like they're all the same after a while, you know? I mean, I used to like comic books and stuff, and I was excited when, you know, Superman and Batman came out. But now it's too much, man. And they're saying the movie's not as good as, like, Wonder Woman and Iron Man and, mm-hmm. and all that. So so I don't know. But apparently, if they didn't make 110, it wasn't good. And they're saying it could be the lowest opening for a Warner Brothers superhero brand. So.
Yeah, maybe.
There you go.
Take
you
that
know,
as
they,
a sign.
They put in so much money into it that, you know. Yeah. All right. Well, you might want to know that CBS News fired Charlie Rose. Mm-hmm. Sexual harassment's there, too. So everybody's getting fired these
days. I can't
wait
till they fire Donald Trump.
Well, maybe we'll get to that, too, if somebody finds some sexual harassment.
There's like
him,
15
you know?
Or 18 women who have.
Where are they? Let them come out.
They have come out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't see him being
you need to Google
investigated
it.
For
it's
it.
It's been though. Everywhere. They are, I think, investigating him.
Yeah?
Well, they have complained and they have attorneys.
Yeah, cool.
But they've been silenced about
18.
Well,
maybe that's going to take him
and
down.
This was before the election even happened,
yeah.
actually. A lot of
yeah, that
forward.
I remember. But
he
I
was like kind of the
recently.
First one that set it off because I think it was after that tape that came out on Access Hollywood where he said he likes to grab women by the pussy, our
right.
president. And yeah, so like a slew of women. And
yeah.
I think women have actually mentioned it over the years. Like, he's known for walking in dressing rooms of like Miss Teen America while they're naked.
Right.
Like, yeah, we've been talking about his predatory ways for years.
Right.
But anyways.
But, you
President
know, I mean,
Trump,
but we seem to be lumping it all in the same thing. And, you know,
it
that's
is.
A problem. I mean, well, I don't know if somebody like somebody was taking a picture with someone and he had his hand on her ass or something, you know, that's not like rape, you
no,
know.
No, no.
I mean, people do
that. There are
that,
different
you know?
Forms of harassment accurately.
Yeah.
That is accurate, but it is yeah. still harassment. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't ask, you
and,
know. But
he,
some things...
But the thing is like, President Trump grabbed a woman by her vagina.
Did he do it or he was talking about it?
He did he do just it. Said There's it. A woman that came forward.
There's a woman that said he yes. grabbed her.
Yes.
Okay, well, I guess I've been think? On Mars.
These women
know.
Are trying to speak up against one of the most, like, wealthy and the president of the United States. What mm-hmm. do you think? Like, do you... If I were them, I would be frightened
right,
for
right.
my life and right. for everyone around
but
me.
But people have come out, like, with Bill Clinton and stuff, you know? I
Bill
mean,
Clinton,
it's
like,
happened before.
Those women mostly wanted Bill Clinton. Like,
oh,
Monica
come on.
Lewinsky
what are you talking
wanted
about?
To
No, no, but
him.
Paula Jones and Jennifer Flowers and all these women
and
that
he was
complained,
impeached.
You know? So, but he was impeached for lying. You know,
yeah, but President Trump lies to us on a daily basis.
That's true.
Bill Clinton lied to us argue. One time that we found out.
I won't
out
argue,
about.
But okay, but you know, I don't know why.
I just wanted,
Bill
I just
Clinton
want to say on this show that
did the same
any
shit
form
to
of
women.
Sexual harassment is unacceptable.
That
there's
we agree
not,
on,
that's
I think.
Not, there's no like, well, you know, there's
yeah,
no
yeah, but
room
the question is what constitutes sexual harassment? I think anything
unwanted
that a woman
sexual
yeah,
behavior.
Exactly, exactly.
Unwanted.
Okay. So, but you know, taking a picture and holding and
that's
and
not
hugging
what they
someone
wanted though.
What's that?
That's not acceptable.
I don't know. It sounds to me like she's trying to make some excuses. This is that last woman, you know, that came with Al Franken. You know, I mean,
just
I'm
think
not.
That's a very male response.
Probably, yeah, probably. I don't know.
How would anyway, you feel if you saw some man put his hand on your daughter's butt? While you were standing there trying to take a picture of them, someone she probably like idolized.
Well, I don't know what
as a father, I'd be extremely
was, you know?
Uncomfortable.
Okay, I accept that. I accept that. You know, I just think you can't, you know, just because somebody took a picture like this, you can't bring him down just because of something like that. This is not like what Harvey Weinstein did. It's not like what the claiming Roy Moore did and all that stuff. You know, so
100% that's know, but, true. But if you think about it. Something like that mm-hmm. to me implies that he like there might be other behaviors as we knew Al Franken like did that kiss with, you know what I mean? Oh, there's right. there must be like a pattern like there if he's willing to do that, what else goes on that we don't see?
Right.
If he's willing to put his hand on in a picture.
Right.
You know? That's yeah. a little frightening.
Okay. Well, we weren't there, so I don't know. Just the way I read the story, it seemed like a non-issue, you know. But what can I say? I mean, it seemed like the way they described it, like my husband was this and that and this, you know. So I don't
I
know, but
we
went
live,
there.
I just
I
think we live
your...
in like a culture of like depending on who it is, you know, or where the, you know, like how is Roy Moore still allowed to run for office with the information that we have? And how is President Trump still allowed to be president? And that's the reason why when you sit here and are like, why didn't they come forward? These women sadly have come forward and nothing happens. And that's why women feel that they don't have a voice when something like that happens to them. Just something as small as a guy puts his hand on her butt mm-hmm. where when she comes out, people are going to do stuff like that and be like, well, I mean, that's the culture that
we... But look, it's always her word and his word, you know. Let me ask you this.
There's
what happens
picture.
If a woman accuses a guy of rape, right? He gets arrested first and then they look into the facts and stuff, right? No? No? So if you call and you say, this guy raped me, they're not going to come and arrest me? Okay. So our guests say no, so maybe we'll talk about that later.
I just think, I think you need to like, as men, as a whole,
mm-hmm.
both sides, Democrat, Republican, because again, this is a not a party issue. This is a male issue.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
They need to educate themselves. Like, there needs to be some, like, HR course that men are required to take when they go renew their driver's licenses on
oh
how,
my
to,
God.
How to
okay,
how to
okay, you're going
treat
a little
women.
Too much, I think. You're getting a little carried away there, you know? I mean, not all men are like this. I think most men are not. Are
it doesn't
not predators.
Appear to be that way.
They're not predators. I'm not a predator. I'm not a predator, but I just don't think that
I mean,
putting your
you,
hand... I'm not saying, look, I'm not saying
say,
it's a good thing.
I think those
thing,
men would say the same thing about themselves. Like, Roy Moore stands up there and he's like, I've never done anything. I'm a good Christian guy. And it's like, you have been banned from a mall. An entire facility doesn't want you there because you're a creep. You're
right.
a giant weirdo,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
But I also
okay. Well, we're quick to judge people, I think. But you know, if there's enough people coming up,
that guy deserves judgment. He abuses little girls. Like he's a predator.
Okay, you see, that's what I'm saying. That's not the same as holding and putting a hand on somebody's ass for a picture.
I don't. Everybody I'm can not. See it. No, I'm not saying that those two actions are the same, but they fall under the umbrella of sexual harassment, and it starts with a hand on the ass that's not wanted. It doesn't just, I'm going to rape someone someday. There are behaviors that start from like a pattern, it seems, you know? They start somewhere. And it takes when people don't speak up that behavior is validated. It makes it seem like it's okay.
Right. Okay. I'll accept that. All right. We're going to bring in our guests right now who are sitting here patiently. We're joined by Destiny. Do you go by your last name too? No, Destiny it is. Get back. Hey, get close to the mic so we can hear you.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Good.
Thanks for having us
of
today.
Of course. And you're joined by Persia, right?
Yes. Amazing.
Are you guys like partners and stuff? What do you do exactly together?
We work together.
Yeah, we're castmates.
Yeah, we have a TV series that just premiered a couple weeks, or actually like 3 weeks ago now. I'm sorry, my voice has kind of gone. I'm a little sick right now.
Aww.
Like the rest of the world, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the show called?
Show is called Fashion Dolls, and it's about women in the fashion industry.
Wow.
Or actually, it's really about entrepreneurs and women that work together.
Okay,
in entertainment.
So is it like a reality show or is it fiction?
Yes, yeah. It's a reality show.
Oh,
so,
what network is it on?
It's on the Fashion One Network.
Oh, word.
Yeah, so the first season just came out November 1st, so we're really
awesome.
Excited about it, yeah.
Yeah, so what do you guys do? You have, like, cameras running around you and stuff? And
yeah.
How many people are there on the show? Like
There's, like,
the
six of us.
Six of you?
Right? Six
yeah,
girls,
six.
Five.
Are you all
yeah.
in fashion?
Yeah, we basically, like, produce fashion shows, photo shoots for designers. We basically work with brands and then we kind of do the creative direction and like events and stuff like that. So it's basically like just putting everything together.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
We're not like the models or anything. We're just like we facilitate.
We're the producers.
The
I
creative,
think that's
like,
exactly.
The
you put
directors.
It together.
Yeah, that's what it's about. So the company, I started the company originally and I produced concerts and festivals and then got into fashion as well because fashion events, everything goes together.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we put together an amazing group of girls because it's like if you're going to have these, you know, kind of, you know, this entertainment is very male dominated. Mm-hmm. You know, I hired a bunch of chicks that we all work together. And then I really love the show because the show is really like girls working together. It's not
and
like
it's
the
positive,
typical
it's
drama.
Petty.
Yeah, it's more funny. And it just, you know, chronicles all the crazy things that happen.
No throwing drinks at each other.
Yeah, or like stealing boyfriends. It's not that type of show. It's
there already like have those shows.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's almost expected, I feel like, when you have a reality show full of women that there's going to be those catty, unnecessary like fights. And I just feel like I'm so desensitized to it because I've watched Bravo and all the Housewives since like day one and I'm obsessed with them. But it's like I've seen the same fight for years.
Exactly.
I feel the same way.
And it's just who wants, you know, like to say that the media does play a role in our society, like when young girls see this. That's how they learn how to act, and they think that that's acceptable. You know what I mean? To communicate like that. So that's really cool, you guys.
No, what are you doing?
Like
No. This will sit right. There you go, like this.
I'm sorry. I'm also a sound engineer. I didn't know what type of mic this was. Sorry.
Okay, I'm just saying that.
I just feel like I'm struggling. Sorry, guys. So, you know, I was doing a mic because I'm tiny. I know I have a tall personality, but I'm like, I feel like I'm
there might be a hook under here.
Yes.
You don't have to get that close to the mic if it doesn't feel comfortable. You can sit like this or something.
Oh, it's fine. I'm also a recording artist. Actually, both of us are. So we're also.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, for sure. I started doing music when I was 4 years old as a pianist. That's actually what brought me to L.A. is music.
Where are you from?
I'm from Boston, Massachusetts originally, and Purge is also a recording artist. So, you know, we're artists, and when you think about Los Angeles, women working together, pursuing their dreams, there's always a story behind it, you know?
Right.
So while we're doing this, we also have all of our own, like, personal goals and careers that we're going.
Sure.
And the show's really, like, we get together, and we kind of uplift each other and help each other, like, you know? Work together.
Yeah, very good. When did you guys meet? Did you meet, like, casting the show, or... how did it start?
We met over like almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
So was it? So you met before you started the project?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Definitely. We actually met through her mom.
Yeah, through my mom. My mom's my business partner as well.
Wow,
and she's awesome. Cool. So the really cool thing about the TV show is the network actually bought the TV show from my company as well. So not only is the show about our company, but we also produce the show about our company producing events. So it was like a really kind of twofer thing.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do it that way because we got creative control. And for me as a woman, you know, in the entertainment industry, it was so important that the way that we're portrayed is, you know, is in a way that
they're
I'd be proud.
They're not exploiting you.
Exactly.
Which is cool because like I wouldn't, like in the past I had opportunities to be on reality shows and it was always like, I had to literally want to like sell my soul to do it. And
that's
it was just
it
always
is.
Like a really yeah. rough decision. So like this was like an opportunity for me to like do it, but not have to like,
yeah, it's,
you know, compromise like who I am as
totally.
A person.
And like I said, the show, what makes it entertaining is that it's really funny. Like there's an episode where we're producing a photo shoot for a pro golfer and she's amazing. And, you know, I was like, hey guys, you know, we've never played golf. Why don't we go and like take some golf lessons, but like we were so horrible
it was
hilarious.
Or when we tried to do ballet, that
yes,
was the worst.
Yes,
like, it's
it was
embarrassing.
So good.
Like, never
yeah, we,
again.
Exactly. We did an event for a ballet company where we did like a ballet fashion show. And it was the same thing. It was like, hey, you know, I used to do ballet when I was like 8 years old. I'm like, Persia, did you ever do ballet?
No, I didn't.
And
that's why it was horrible for me. Like, I
no,
was
but
like,
we all look stupid.
And she made us, we basically had to do a lot of stuff that I would normally not
yeah.
do. And it was kind of cool because
well,
it was funny.
It, brought you,
it made
brought
it more
you
funny. I mean, hello, like me doing ballet, that's like the funniest thing ever.
It was great. And like
I'm like a hip hop kind of girl.
Yeah. But the thing that was ridiculous for that one is we took a class with professional dancers. So it was literally like
Juilliard trained.
Oh yeah, like I mean,
yeah,
professional,
they were judging
like amazing.
Us. And they were judging. They didn't even hide that they were like.
Persia showed up in straight up Nikes to
that's
like
me.
The ballet
that's
class,
me,
like
girl.
Nike.
And like yeah, like
what
100%.
Do you want me? What do you want from me? Yoga what
pants.
More do you want from me in my Tyrese voice?
Yeah. It was so.
And Persia, where did you move from? Are you originally from LA?
I'm not originally from LA. I moved here from Washington, D.C. I'm originally Persian and Nigerian.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And what was it like growing in Washington, D.C.? I mean, did you feel like the politics all around?
I loved it. Like, I was an event host. I was like a local celebrity. I literally, my job was to show up places and get paid and like pop bottles. It was amazing. They showed me so much love.
I used to live in D.C. I went to American.
Oh, really?
And I had
nice.
Friends who
awesome.
Worked in all the like, if you said the one, there's like a ton of the clubs.
Yeah.
That, like, she was always trying to get me to come down there and
yeah,
do the
was,
dinners
was,
and stuff.
Yeah,
and
it was like, amazing.
It's
like,
a cool
literally,
scene
like
for that.
3 days a week, I just had to just show up. And shout out to DT Nation and Mitch Mathis. They really show me love, and everyone there show me love. But when it comes to like the music industry, I couldn't really progress there, so that's why I moved to LA. Like, otherwise, you know, I'd be there. I love it.
Yeah,
and the politics
DC's a
is great
place to grow. Like, I 100% said, if it weren't, the weather wasn't so sometimes, it's just such a cool place to grow up. There's so much history, so much
yeah.
for kids, just so much to do, a lot of smart people. It's
yeah.
basically Hollywood.
It's like
for
a
politics,
melting pot. You'd
basically.
Be surprised, but it's actually lit.
Super lit. I love Adams Morgan.
Yes, and Georgetown.
Georgetown, DuPont.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
I'm
Embassy
dying to
Row.
Go and visit, you know?
Yeah,
have you
sure.
ever been to D.C.?
Never been.
Oh, man, go to Embassy Row. Like, you're
yeah.
just driving down the different
yeah.
embassies, and they're all decorated to that certain country's style and architecture.
Ah,
it's just
nice.
So cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So how long ago did you move here?
Like 3.5 years ago.
Oh, I see. Okay,
yeah.
And how long have you been here, Destiny?
I have been in L.A. for quite some time now. I want to say close to over 10 years, like 11 years now. Yeah.
That's cool.
So, I love
so
it.
And so when you, what were you doing before you moved to L.A.?
Well, I moved to L.A. when I was very young. So
oh,
I was
I see.
A child.
Okay. Okay.
I moved to L.A. solely for music.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I always did music, kind of. I also produce music, too. So I would produce all my music at home. And then it was like when my other brother, or my older, not my oldest brother, but the older of me, finished high school and went to college. My mom's also an adventurer. She's like, okay, Destiny, let's do this, let's pursue it. And we came to LA, didn't know anyone, didn't know anything about anything. Wow. Yeah, and just came to LA and just was
so
like.
So did she do it for you mainly? I mean,
yeah,
100%. Wow, what a mom. You
yeah,
see?
No, she's incredible.
There you go.
And she's like my
she's best mom goals.
Yeah. She mom is totally goals. Mom goals.
Shout out to Noemi.
Shout out to Mamacita.
Is she out there?
She is. She's here right now, actually. Yeah.
I was like, I thought that was your sister.
I know.
Is she listening to her?
Mama, you know what? I don't know. Okay. We might have to pull her in here.
Tell her I told her.
I actually came and did an interview on LA Talk Radio about, a few weeks ago. And she came on it with me. And we just talked about kind of business.
Very cool.
And
very nice.
Yeah.
So
she heard me.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you about fashion dolls. Yeah. How did the idea come about for you?
Well, I'm a recording artist. Being a recording artist in the entertainment industry is very political. And a lot of times, the way that most artists make money is through performing, through events. And so I found, instead of trying to get on a big bill, I actually found it easier that I could raise money and produce my own concerts.
Yeah.
And then I'd perform, and I could get other artists to perform. And then I could actually make money off of bigger artists.
Exactly.
And perform and promote myself. So it was kind of a marketing strategy. And then, I started producing concerts, festivals. And then it turned into fashion, because fashion and music, are right next to each other. So a lot of the events, we started having, designers be part of it. And, it's just about art and live art events.
Right.
So we were doing all these events, really fun fashion, music, concerts, festivals, art type of things. And then, I had a friend of mine that I met that produced TV shows. And he's like, hey, Destiny, what you do is really interesting. Actually, originally, he wanted me to be on one of his TV shows. And then he's like, oh, what you do is really interesting. We should do, pitch a show about you and your company behind the scenes. And I was like, yeah, totally. And then he started the idea, but in the end, me and my mom, we actually produced a sizzle reel pitching the show. Like, hey, this is a cool thing. So we shopped the show, and immediately the first company we took it to liked it. They picked it up, but kind of sat on it for 6 months. It was actually a production company, not a network. And then as soon as we were done with that, we went, the first network we kind of went to, we shopped it to a couple networks. Both showed interest, but Fashion One was like, we love it, and we want you to produce it. Mm-hmm. So it's funny, because I was in the meeting with my mom, and we're, negotiating this deal. And right off the bat, they're like, oh, yeah, we want to purchase this many episodes. And I was like, okay, awesome. And they're like, yeah, so when, this is the how it has to be delivered and all this stuff. And just talking to us as the production company, not as the creators, to hire a production company. And the whole time I remember I just had oh, yeah, totally. We can do that. Yeah, no problem. Oh, yeah, 50 frames a second, 4K. These are the deliverables. Oh, no problem.
And it was a long process.
Oh, my God. Doing the show.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever worked that hard in my life.
Yes.
Right. Okay, I have.
So was that new for you to get into that? I mean, you were doing more music and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I was doing more music. I had been getting a little bit into acting, and I've done improv and stuff like that. I went to UCB, so that was just it was just kind of second nature for me. It was a really good experience, because the girls were all really nice people. We're all friends now, and just fashion is just my passion. That sounds so cliche, but it's true. I literally just sit there and think about clothes all day, and then I go shopping. So it was just oh, cool, I can do this.
Yeah, I can dig that.
Well, us talking kind of about the women's movement, a lot of it started, way back in the day, and it was for women through fashion. Mm-hmm. So there was a time, when women didn't really necessarily have a platform to speak, and women started to express themselves through fashion.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
It's a really important
thing. So when was
thing,
that, the 60s,
70s? No. We're talking about the 1600s.
Fashion
became
where women probably started expressing themselves by wearing pants.
Yeah, that was like as a rebellious thing.
Oh my God, right. Yes.
Yeah,
I don't know what life would be like without pants. That's crazy. Yeah. I never even thought about that.
They burned their bras and everything.
I mean, well, that was like in the 60s and the 70s. Yeah. But like, can you imagine, like, just seeing the fashion from the 1600s and the, I don't know what that thing, but just like, they had to carry these heavy things. They had corsets.
Yeah.
Tie their boobies up, you know, and just.
Right. It's like now we see like the waist trainers and we're like, bah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, back then it was like you had to wear a waist trainer all day, every day.
I mean, yeah, it was just the social norm. And I think, I'm sorry, guys. Through the progression. Sorry, that's my Snapchat, guys. I'm sorry. I was trying to post this live because I was so excited about this conversation.
Millennial problems.
Right? I know, right? I'm sorry, guys. But yeah, I mean, fashion does... I forgot what we were talking about because I'm embarrassed. Sorry, guys. What was the question?
We were going back to the 1600s.
We were talking about just like how fashion was just like a form of protest, rebellion, yes. Just for women. Fashion really gave women a platform to express themselves in a time where they really didn't have any other way to kind of, you know, take a stand or anything.
Exactly. And like you were saying, you know, when women first started wearing pants, as simple to us now as that seems, that was a social rebellion. It represented women standing up and saying they want more. And you know, even in the, like, you know, the LGBTQ community, LGBTQ, I'm sorry, guys, you know, expressing yourself through fashion is really a way of showing, look, this is my lifestyle and this is what I stand for, and it is a rebellion. So fashion, you know, through everything as a woman, or you know, it says how you feel, it shows how you feel about yourself, it expresses yourself to someone, and it's a representation. So fashion is so important, not only in the music industry, but, you know, in society.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's true that they put a lot more emphasis on women's fashions than men's fashions, you know? You go to the mall, it's like two stores for men and the rest are for women.
Well,
because men are not as into clothes as women are.
You know what I feel like?
I think men are. I think they're more into name brands. But I agree with you, there's more options for women. Go to the big shops, okay? There's more options for women, but I do think that men, like a lot of guys I dated, love shopping.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know?
For right. sure. Well, something that I do also feel like, just kind of putting two things together, saying for women, fashion has evolved so much and it's constantly changed. And men's fashion, if you look like over the past like thousands of years, it hasn't really changed that much. Especially,
yeah.
And I think it also has to do with the fact that women have had more to represent and speak on, and that's why fashion has evolved more.
And right. also, it we means can wear something. Skirts yeah. and pants. Yeah. They can so only wear pants.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So
yeah.
maybe
go to Scotland.
Men should start wearing skirts, and then they'll have more options.
Yeah, what's his name? Young.
Kanye, didn't young, Kanye or
young
someone?
Young Thug,
someone
right?
It was Jaden Smith.
Or Ace. Jaden A$AP Rocky also wore one too, and but it's weird because in like Scottish culture, that's tradition for men when you get married or Scottish or I don't know whatever one, but like you're wearing a kilt.
Yeah, that's a traditional clothing.
Right. I'm here for it,
right? But that's but that's the thing, is no one thinks twice about.
Really,
oh,
you wouldn't mind like a man in a skirt or something?
No, I mean, like, I think that
I've
like
been to Scotland before
when it comes
yeah,
to like,
but that's Scotland.
That's like saying like, do I? You know, it's like skinny jeans. Some people would say that's feminine, but you know, now it's like
the norm.
Yeah, it's normal. So it just, I think it's just society.
Are
just
you kidding?
Me.
It's controversial when a man wears a tank top.
Not controversial, but man tanks, you know what I mean? There was the romper for men too, that was a thing recently, a few months ago. Man purses or man bags.
Oh my god, you know what gets me is the meggings.
I can't, what, that's a thing? I can't, you go to Equinox,
you know, bring her down to the male Equinox.
Wait, but like the thin material, like leggings?
Oh, I'm talking like you can full on see
everything.
Yeah,
hey, you know, power to men if that's
right. But you see, the thing is, one problem we I have as a man on the West Coast is that it's often hot here. So there's not much you can wear. You know, you throw on a T-shirt, shorts, and that's it. So you can find a nice T-shirt, a nice short.
You know, if you
now
my shoes. Wear male leggings?
But I like winter stuff, you know, because you can wear a jacket layers, and sweaters and layers and all that
stuff.
Oh man,
I live for a
onesie. You can express, and that's why I feel in the winter I can express myself better with clothes than I can in the summer, you know. So like you said, it's for men, it's all the same all the time.
You know?
So you got to find.
Once they brought back crop tops, I was like, yes, I live in a crop top and just like high waisted anything.
Exactly.
Once they brought back the high, I was like, they've started finally designing for women again, you know, the curves. Because like I grew up like the low waisted.
Yeah, those are mortifying.
And that was so, I think, played a part to like my body dysmorphia and like a lot of women's body. Because like who the fuck wear, like you don't, they fall off, your butt cracks.
Exactly.
Out.
Like you literally, that's when the whole thong showing all the time. And it's like, why is your thong showing? Because,
But once I was like, I found my forever jeans. I got the mom jeans going, the crop tops, like 90s.
Yeah, the mom jeans.
You know,
and you know what?
I mean?
Men are pissed about it. I know so many guys that are like, oh my God,
mom jeans.
I hate high waisted pants. But you're right. They are designed now for women. It's more comfortable.
Some of them were like, the same men were just like about the high waisted jean shorts. But then you have like a. Like men because it curves, hugs you in the nice way.
Men and certain fashion things that they just hate. Maybe you can answer this, because like, I know they hate gladiator shoes too.
Yeah,
what
that's
is it
so
about
true.
Men and
yeah,
like
what
certain
is that?
Things where they're like,
then I don't know.
Maybe it's intimidating. It's just because if you think about the gladiator, like think about. Yes. Let's just get into the psychology of this.
I like this.
Right. Okay, so gladiator, what does that represent? Like a big manly going for fighting. Like I feel like it emasculates.
Yeah,
is that why?
Maybe because they look at it, they're like, am I going
sense,
into
actually.
War or are we, you know, am I so, but men are just, some men are just so
you just
stuck,
clarified it for
you know?
Me
yeah.
Like that was like, wow, life changing.
When
I
the gladiator shoes came out, I was so obsessed with those because I
amazing.
Oh my God, they're so cute, and it's kind of like you can wear flat. And you know, it's perfectly
and you
cool.
Can wear, I love them with a dress, with shorts, you know.
Yeah,
skirt.
You feel like Gladiator, Russell
totally
Crowe.
Totally bohemian
you know? Like
vibe.
Exactly. Ugh, love it. See, I can sit here and talk fashion.
Totally.
There you go. Yeah, and I can sit and listen all day, you know.
Such a
good so, now, by the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Destiny and Persia, and they produce the show Fashion Dolls on Fashion One. That's the network,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
And I've never heard of it, but I'm going to look for it now.
There you go. Look it up
right?
now.
There you go.
It's in like a,
there's a lot of
like
cool
160
channels.
Countries.
Yeah, 160
wow,
countries
how cool
across
is that,
the world. Yeah,
right?
It's super exciting.
Is it online too and stuff?
Yeah.
It is online.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have a website too, right? Let's see,
Fashion Dolls TV.
I feel like I could see it on Bravo or something.
You know what I mean? I think it could as well. I think the main reason why it didn't was because we were a new production company, and honestly, we had the opportunity to shop it to networks like that, but most of the meetings that I had, they're like, oh, if you're going to do it, it has to be like this. You need to have this drama. You need to have this.
The creative takes that. They take the creative out of it.
At least initially.
They feed off the drama like we talked
about. Yeah. Well, we wanted to do something and be able to show, hey, no, we can do a show like this and it still be entertaining and funny and fun to watch.
Right.
Whereas a lot of times if you go to bigger companies right off the bat, they're like, okay, well, this is our formula. We know it works. You either have to fit in it or, you know, we're not interested.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's just kind of sad if you really think about it, because like I've been around a lot of like reality TV stars and like just the things they have to do. And honestly, I think sometimes they push people to like mental like instability. Mm-hmm. Like some of the things that are required of people are just not even healthy. Like it probably would give you a lot of anxiety. Like just going on set and knowing like you might get punched in the face is not a good feeling. Like waking up, imagine you had to wake up every morning and come here knowing someone could attack you or bring
or
out some
like
horrible
three out of,
secret.
Three out
like,
of the seven people on the cast absolutely hate you.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what I mean?
Too much.
And you know,
like,
frankly, a lot of times the producers of shows like that will kind of plant seeds like to pin you against each other. And it's like, oh, it's all for TV. But that's the thing. It's reality. So there's a fine line between what's real and what's not real, and those people are playing themselves.
Yeah.
And so when you do these things, you kind of mess with their psyche.
It's just expected, I think, today when, you know, like we were saying earlier, when you see a group of women on TV, there's going to be drama, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, we don't need any more of that.
Yeah.
So I see here on your website, by the way, you guys can go to fashiondollstv.com. I'm seeing a picture of you guys, of you ladies sitting around the table and everything, discussing probably strategy.
How did you meet
all
the girls on the show?
Met them all through different ways. I mean, you know, met, we have Persia. And like I said, I met Persia through my mom. And my mom's like, oh my God, there's this girl. She's also an artist. She's been involved with like putting on events in DC. You need to meet her. You would love her. And then, of course, you know, we did.
Sometimes we had to hire people to like actually put out job postings. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
We had, there's a girl named Jessica who I met like maybe 5 years ago. She does PR. And Jessica is just hilarious. She's like, she's just a hilarious girl, and you know,
she's
we love Jessica.
Definitely one of the most interesting.
Yeah, she's a really good
aspect
character on the show. But she's very you know, she's very talented as a PR rep. She's not afraid to get out there. You know, any good publicist has to go out there and you know, just speak up their clients and really speak up our events. So you know, a lot of times if we have an event that's not that big, you have to have someone go up and be like, this is the biggest event in the world, you know?
Right. Yeah, and if anyone watches this show out there, you're going to see me and Jessica butting heads a lot. And in the beginning, I could not stand her. And now she's actually one of my favorite in the world.
That's
like,
so
it's
funny.
Crazy
isn't
how
it funny
that works.
How that happens?
Yeah, she would like get on my last nerves, and now I'm like, oh my God, I love you. You're
sweetheart.
So sweet.
Yeah,
and Christina is a model.
Oh, yeah, Christina we met actually at a casting for a fashion show.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And she's just like this really spunky, hilarious. She's also really, really funny. She's Irish. And, you know, she kind of naturally at the fashion show we did, she kind of took the lead and started directing the models. And so after that, we came up to her and we're like, yeah, you know, you seem like you're pretty good at like directing models. And she's got like a great walk and great
she's
sense.
She's
the
model
of,
coach.
Yeah, yeah, model coach. And then also does the choreography for the fashion shows, which might seem like, oh, what is it? Walk in a straight line.
No.
But for fashion shows, a lot of times
you're with a bunch of girls who need to know where they're going, where their entrance, where their exit, when they come out.
Yeah,
and queuing. Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't realize how crazy it was because, like, I wasn't even the one coordinating them, but I'd be sitting there like, oh my God, like,
yeah, there's a
come
lot.
Out now. Like, mm-hmm. It was just like,
it's
whoa, it's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I have to give all the girls a shout out. And then
yes,
we have Beatrice, Nicole. Beatrice is like, you look, she's the image coordinator, and
she's
a stylist.
She's art.
You look at this girl, yeah, seriously, she is beautiful, and she just has like this really unique, impeccable sense of style. I mean,
her style is,
yeah,
like,
it's like
not trying to like hype it, but it's
no, it's amazing.
Legitimately like different, yeah, like.
Is it the one with the hair?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
She has like
Beatrice?
Silver like dreadlocks.
Yes.
Right,
sick.
Right. Yeah,
love
you guys
it.
Should check it out. Go on the website and see. She does have a unique look to it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Totally.
So what did she do with her hair? It looks like ropes.
It's like, it's.
I think it's a combination, she said, of like string and hair or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's like, I forgot what it is. It's like faux locks.
Yeah, yeah,
but it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
hair.
Fake
dreadlocks, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh
but
my god,
it's made out
her
of like
lipstick
a
is everything.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
my nails.
Oh, you're already on.
Yeah, she's like yeah. every time I see her, I'm like, wow, girl,
art.
Yeah,
yeah.
Art, exactly.
Exactly.
Artwork.
You'll know what I mean if you look at her. And then
nice.
I also have to give a shout out to Brianna. So Brianna, I met when I was producing a music festival. And she actually, I met her through a friend of mine who's a DJ and was like, hey, this girl loves music festivals. You should have her work. So she came and she helped out at this festival that we produced. Actually, was it last year? Yeah. It was called Revolution Cinco de Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the Belasco. It was like a mini kind of music festival concert that my company put on.
So you love to do that, huh? To organize
yeah.
events and stuff like that.
My thing is like I'm just a producer in general, whether it's music or events or TV shows. I love seeing something be brought to life. And I love the process and the steps that it takes, you know.
That's good. So yeah. you're in the right place.
Oh, yeah. I'm
doing
yeah,
the
I'm
right
happy.
Thing.
Yes.
Well, so we gave out, give a shout out to all the ladies. Now, I wanted to ask you, what are some of the challenges? I mean, you're five women. It can be challenging sometimes. I don't mean five women. I mean five people. It doesn't matter
yes.
if it's women or not. You put five people together, you have challenges sometimes, right?
Yes. A lot of it, I would say, you know, I'll let
timing.
Persia take this. Yeah.
I feel like us getting ready was always like a thing because like everyone's like rushing to get ready, trying to find outfits. It was fun because sometimes, you know, it was just like we were putting these outfits together and it's about fashion. But sometimes it was like a lot of pressure, like, to get yourself together and like be
right.
on, you know, on
yeah,
camera.
I will say the hardest thing for us was, I mean, like, I don't want to, like, you know, say all women, but dude, I'm so bad with time. I really am. So yeah. Imagine you have like one chick trying to get ready, like, okay, and like coordinate that whole process. And then you multiply that by six.
Did they make you all live together?
No.
Okay.
No.
We spent a lot of time living together because the only time we weren't together was when we were at home sleeping.
Yeah, right. So and like the rest of the time we were shooting.
And then we were together all day.
Wait, how long was the shoot?
It was like 6 months.
Yeah. Well, it feels like that.
For 6 months.
No. It wasn't 6 months. It was over the course of...
4 months?
4 months. Over the course. But it wasn't like it a continuous like every day.
How do they shoot you? Like a couple days a week?
Yeah.
And then the rest you're off?
Well, yeah.
That's tiring, though, because like, you have to be on and then the rest of you.
Totally. Well, the format of the show was based more around us
putting the events on
then like our life, our lives and what we do was included, but the
how
core of the show
is that you're putting on these events.
Oh my
which
god
is a stressful situation in general, and then you have the cameras following you.
Yeah,
and when you're stressed, for me, I'm not my best self comes out, you know what
And that's what the cameras captured, and that's what makes it interesting. It's like when those things did happen, where weird stuff happened, it kind of made it more interesting because it's like the challenges of it all. Because, I mean, every time that we did do an event or something, there was like 10 things that happened to like almost ruin
it. Exactly. That's the entertainment industry. You have to be a problem solver. Like,
When you throw an event,
when you shoot a movie, when you do a show, whatever, some shit is just not going to go right.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
wardrobe, people, whatever.
I respect that about Destiny, of just being able to be really calm in situations, because like sometimes I'd be like, girl, I don't know how you're like calm right now. Like everything is falling apart.
It's like, but not internally. Like internally, you're probably like, this is the end of the world. But
I know,
internally,
like,
you're like, you know.
You know what? I feel like just being in the entertainment industry so long, it's kind of like it is such an emotional roller coaster. There's so many high highs and lows.
And sometimes they come
at
the same
time.
Yeah.
Well, what I found, like at least how I deal with it, is I kind of usually, like, I kind of coast my life for the most part, kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
Like if you really know me, I'm chill, so I don't get super super excited, but I also don't get like super upset when things happen. I'm just always kind of like, okay, you know what? If this is what we're working with, this is what we're working with. What can we do to make the best of the situation?
And that's what you ladies are. You're creators. You create, you know, solutions to problems. That's how you got to do it.
That's very cool. So so what is next for you guys? So are you going to continue doing this show now for another season or something?
Yeah, so actually I'll let Perza start first because she's got some cool stuff she's working on.
So obviously, like, I'm looking forward to doing another season of the show. With my music, I actually am working on my own personal project right now. I have a couple songs with Jeremiah. I don't know if you know who that is. He's an R&B singer, and he's also, like, I'm his protege. Like, he's kind of, like, one of my coaches, him. And shout out to Jeremiah and Molly Mall. Like, I've been working on my project with that and West One Music. And so I have a lot of stuff coming out. Also, I've been writing for a bunch of other people because when I came into the industry, I was, like, just trying to be an artist and, like, you know, just being in the industry and just seeing like that what my talent was music, and it's not always about like, you know, fame and like, or having like a huge social media. Like sometimes it's just good to like take a back seat and just work, you know, like so that's what I've been doing. I've been working with a lot of people that do have big social media followings and just kind of like helping them write, and that's been an amazing like it's been an amazing journey for me because it's just putting my head in like a different space of like, okay, like I'm a creative, and takes off a lot of pressure of like being an artist. So like I've been doing both of those things.
I feel like
so
you use different parts, you know, it allows you to use different parts of your brain.
It's almost like
mind,
easier,
you know,
to write for other people because it's not like you're not thinking about yourself and what people think of you, and you're able to just like be more,
you take your ego out of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. You're more like rational and just more focused about it. So it's been great. Like I love writing for other people, and I'm definitely looking forward to opening like that aspect of my career.
Writing music or other things as well?
Well, I definitely want, like, I've been doing like comedy stuff. I'm working on this little like talk show where it's basically about like current, like kind of like Wendy Williams, but not like kind of like an internet version.
Right.
So I'm working on that right now. We've started doing some stuff on it, but that's just like a long term. But right now I'm just trying to get my project out and like shoot videos, basically the songs that I did with Jeremiah and like, that's you know, just my own project. Yeah. That's
very cool. Nice.
Yeah,
and
totally.
You, Destiny, what's...
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of really cool stuff I'm working on. Of course, one being, you know, the potential of shooting the second season of the show. But also, I'm a recording artist, so I have a new project that I'm putting out in January. It's called Beautiful Chaos. Uh-huh. And then the other thing that I'm also doing is kind of, like I was saying, producing the show. I kind of was like, you know what? I really like producing shows. So I started developing a new TV series right now. This one isn't reality. It's actually a scripted comedy. And this is based off of originally what my company does, which is produce music festivals. So it's a sitcom mockumentary style show about how all the stuff it takes to produce a big music festival. And it's very much based off of you know, things that have happened in my life, because it's hilarious. I mean, the stuff that goes when you try to like book the biggest artist in the world, like, and you're a new company and no one knows who you are, like, that is not going
to
be easy. People are going to say no. Yeah. But it's the, you know, misadventures of what it takes to try to be an entrepreneur, grow a company, and just all the characters that you meet. And we just actually did castings yesterday for the TV series. So I'm excited. We're going to be shooting the pilot in the next couple months.
Awesome.
I want to audition to be the prostitute.
I was reading this, and I was like, that sounds like my And I wanted to say this. So, you know, and like, you know, obviously I've worked with you. You're super talented. And the cool thing about doing a show like this is I can feature so many amazing people in different ways, because it's going to be, it's fictional, but it's loosely based on real things that have happened. So we're going to have, you know, big recording artists come and perform, both real and fictional, in the
amazing
show. Yeah, so
that's,
it's a really
awesome
fun project.
Folks, we're totally out of time. Tell
no
people
problem
how they can find you, social media, things like that.
For sure. Well, I'm Destiny, and you can find me at destiny.com, D-E-S-T-E-N-E-E. Also, Instagram is at Destiny Music, same thing, D-E-S-T-E-N-E-E, M-U-S-I-C. And check out Fashion Dolls, Fashion Dolls TV. I'm Persia.
Yeah, and I'm Persia, and you can find me at Persia Official on Instagram, Princess Persia on Twitter, and the Persia is with the U, so typically Persia is spelled P-E-R-S-I-A. Mine is P-U-R-S-I-A, like a cat, like purr, like meow. So Persia Official on Instagram.
Sounds good. Ladies, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
You. Thank you.
You're
for
amazing
having us.
Of course, much success to you. We're
thank
very
you
impressed with everything you've done, and you know, we'd like to see more of you.
Yeah.
So
can I just say
awesome
one thing?
Of course.
About
quick
the sexual harassment
quick
thing.
But
yes,
we don't
I
have
want
time.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
But you know what? You're welcome back anytime to come
okay
to the show.
Cool. Yes.
There's
cool
a show after us. I'm sorry.
Okay,
but
no, that's problem.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Rachel, thank you.
Always.
See you tomorrow. Whoops.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.